Well, hey, thanks for joining us on The Drive on a Friday. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Lincoln Kennedy will finish off our trip through the AFC West this week as we talk about your Oakland Raiders. Also, into the segment, we're going to give away tickets to go see The Godfather. That's next Monday with Katie Christensen and the rest of us. Be a long day, but it's worth it.
It's not just me.
Well, but that's all anyone cares about, and I get it.
I just want to be clear here, because I've had some issues with maybe some people having a little bit of a weird thing. I don't want to set us up for that. I don't need gifts at my front door,
what?
You know, things like that. So I just want to make it clear that we're all going to the movies.
Oh, you think people are getting the tickets? They think it's just the two of you?
It's not a date.
Well, they'll figure it out when they get there, and Nate and I are flanking you.
Who's the guy, the big, like, security guy that, like, when we're out on location...
Status?
Like, is always with Grant.
The back of his head looks like a Shar-Pei.
Is status going to be there?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm sure.
What, you don't think Nate and I could handle things?
No, I'm a little bit... You're scared of a shark.
I'm going to tell you a little something. Nate doesn't go anywhere without status.
That's a good point right there. I love status. He's awesome.
Yep.
He has that Shane Battier head where it's all wrinkly and awesome. He's just huge.
I mean, it's like he's so good with the nonverbal communication.
All you really got to do is...
Like, okay.
You know, it's great when your security guy scares you a little, like, too.
He's so big and
thick.
Like,
if you're scared of him, like, that's got to be effective with other people, right?
He looks like one of those guys that you could, like, wind up and, like, hit as hard as you could in the stomach, and he'd just be like...
I don't think he'd express that much emotion.
Did you just kiss me?
Yeah, I don't think the look on his face would change a lick.
At all.
I bet he's not scared of a shark.
He probably is. I don't know. Maybe he
is. He's probably not scared of no ghost either.
Yeah.
You saw that.
I did.
Afraid of no ghost. Join us in addition to going and seeing the movies with just Katie Christensen.
I wonder why people were thinking that, by the way.
Join us for the Sacramento Whiskey, Wine, and Spirits Festival August 19th at the California Museum. Hey, step back in time. Enjoy an opulent party reminiscent of the Great Gatsby era with samplings of the finest whiskeys, wines, and spirits from around the region. Hey, enjoy live entertainment and delicious bites from some of Sacramento's premier restaurants. Hey, purchase your tickets. I'm just going to say hey every sentence.
Hey.
At khtk.com. Gerald, you're first up. His friends call him Jerry on The Drive. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Been a while, but I wanted to let you all know that I, like myself, am really looking forward to this upcoming King season. I want to thank Kevin Johnson for doing everything that he did, and I'd like to thank Yonah Dubek and his group for purchasing the Kings. I don't think...
Are you accepting an award,
is
Jerry?
Is that Ron and Dvac?
No, I'm really looking forward to this season. I mean,
Hold on, stop. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but Nate, you got me. I had to rewind in my head. You think I'm not making fun of you, Jerry.
No.
I just want to clarify.
Said Vivek
I thought he said Ron and Dvac. I think you nailed it, Nate. Did you say Ron and Dvac? Because that would be a...
Whatever you said.
Good answer.
Right,
I like it.
Go ahead, Jerry.
But looking forward, and the new arena is just going to be the cherry on top. But specifically why I called is I want to thank the ownership group for hiring the right company to build the arena. That thing has went up quickly, and I drive by every day, and it's just looking more and more amazing every day. And by the way, I drive by the old Arco Arena every day, and I would like to say thanks for not picking the same company who's doing that construction along I-80 there between Madison and the I-5 interchange split. That thing's been under construction for 7 years. It's a joke. Thank you for moving the arena downtown.
R&P, Sync Train Arco, power
balance.
God bless
you, Jerry.
Seriously, I think Jerry's running for office.
Yeah.
Did Jerry just accept the nomination?
Why don't we have Hail to the Chief on that replay thing? Just like every now and then
Hail to the Chief. He's the one we all say hail to.
There's a lot of things to be excited about with the upcoming Kings season. But I think this is like a normal.
Do we have to do this all? We can't like in a couple weeks try to reach for this.
No.
Can I just tell you where I'm at right now?
Oh, yeah. You're like Katie's transitioning.
No. It's okay. Yeah. I'm going to transition with you. I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine from out of town who relocated. So he'll call and get his news and stuff like that. He follows online, lives in Mississippi now.
Oh.
And he and I were talking and he really kind of started getting to me. Because he was like, can you tell me why this team's going to not be worse than it was last year? And I was like,
well, according to Vegas, it is going to be.
Yeah. And we just started going into depth. And you can never tell.
We're banking a lot on clubhouse chemistry this year.
Like,
I think
I don't want to be a downer, but I'm going to be. And because last year I was an upper and they sucked, so maybe it'll be a reverse. But, like, on the floor, as the team is right now, I don't know what Vlade is going to do between now and training camp, but as it is right now, I don't see how they're going to win as many games as they did last year.
Can you point to anything tangible?
No.
Because that's all I think. Here's what I'm banking on a lot, like I said, on the personalities you've brought in, right?
Here's what I'm hanging on to.
Huh.
Here's some good things.
I mean, I'm thinking like 28 wins.
Can we all agree? You don't think they're going to make it to 30? Okay.
I think it's 28.
I think it's really tough to say that right now. We still have that looming question.
That's why I said right now as we
stand. What's going on in terms of Rudy Gay.
Sure. But, and the point guard position.
Yeah. And so these are the positives. Let's point out the positives.
Uh-huh.
Like, let's accentuate the positives. Obviously, the arena.
Okay,
up,
let me stop you there for a second.
Doesn't have anything to do with
that
anything.
Has nothing to do with
but
on the
not
court.
Even
I know.
That. Not even that. That's not even what I'm saying. I'm saying Jerry said that, right? I know this is so sacrilege, and I don't think I need to throw out my how badly I want a new arena credentials, but can I just say, we haven't experienced the new arena yet.
I know.
We don't know.
And I think that's why it's exciting.
This could be a horrible arena.
Yeah, what if it sucks?
Like, what if it's Levi Stadium?
It's not. I'm a kid. It's not going to be.
How do you know that?
I know, but we don't want to build
Kings
it up.
As a Kings fan, I have to expect these things.
But it's nice, Matt.
Yep.
But right now, it's hopeful and promise, and it's exciting.
Sure.
And we haven't been in there. So that's a good thing to look forward to, right? To experience that.
Yeah.
And then there's a new head coach, and it's not George Karl.
Right.
And there's some hope there, right?
Yeah. Because our last coach got us.
I'm going to let you guys pick it up from there.
For me.
I'm going to let you guys pick it up from there. You do the positives now.
Aren't they? They're like, right now, we just spent a segment where we were talking about how the Giants, like, whatever, midseason, they're taking
they'll figure it out.
Yeah, September, they're going to be fine.
They got
Whereas with the Kings, like, you can list all of these things. I'm just like, whatever, man. Yeah. They'll find a way.
But it's
the other way.
You read kind of the quotes from the sit-down with Rudy Gay from, what was it? What article was it?
It was Blake Ellington over at Cowbell Kingdom.
Okay.
I apologize. It was Blake Ellington at Sacktown Royalty.
David.
Excuse
okay.
me.
Wow.
Sorry, I was looking up the Kings record from last year.
No, I understand. Okay, so Sean Cunningham, our dear good friend.
Yes.
He tweeted out last night a quote from Rudy. At this point in my career, I just want to be happy. I talked to Vlade, and we're working towards trying to make that happen.
Me too, bro.
So, and I take that as I talked to Vlade and said, dude, get me out of here.
Let's unwrap that, okay?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can decipher what that means.
I'm pretty sure it means
after reading Blake's article, it was him talking about all of the rumors about the trade and how he really likes Sacramento. From talking to he and his wife, like Echo, who I love, and their children, like they really like it here. And they moved here because they thought it was they wanted to be here because they really enjoy the Sacramento community in terms of raising their family.
Sure.
And so now, go ahead and laugh.
No, it's just because we got your high school performance going right now.
This is not mine. This is the problem. You know what? Nice job, Matt. Nice friggin' job.
Keep going, Katie. Pick it up.
But so I'm really curious at this point. Like, he seemed obviously very upset in that sit down. And then this quote comes out.
Sure.
So decipher it for me, Dave.
I'd be happy to. We'll decipher it next. Mm-hmm. Also, you want to hear a segment with no phone calls? Watch this. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. As it stands, taking away the arena, what are the positives about next season that you're looking forward to for the Kings? I'm starting, as I know that we're starting to get a little closer to halfway through the offseason, because I'm starting to depress myself. I'm starting to go into depression mode now, where I'm.
It's not your fault, Dave.
Embracing myself.
It's not your fault.
Guess what? As a Kings fan, I'll take the wrench because F him. That's why. All right, we'll take a break to drive Sports 1140 KHDK. Lincoln Kennedy coming up. I had about a little over 10 minutes. End of this break, we'll also throw a question out to you. You win, you get to go see a movie with Katie. Go see The Godfather. Bless you.
Bless you.
You all right? You allergic to socializing or something?
No, but thank you.
Dave, Katie, and Nate, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. And Lincoln Kennedy will have some exciting news to share with us, as I understand it, when he comes on.
That's exciting.
From the 530, I was asking for, we were talking about Rudy Gay, and sounds like he and Vlade finally talked. And as we start to get into the second half of the dreaded offseason, this is where I tend to kind of the opposite of Anthony Robbins, where I believe, and this is a true life thing with me.
As a Kings fan, you're just such, it's like a roller coaster with you all the time.
Yes. I don't believe in optimism. I believe in pessimism. I believe pessimism is more useful in life.
But that's so not how you are.
Sometimes. Well, I'm also extremely neurotic when it comes to the Kings and most
neurotic,
everything else in my life. But
period.
Here's the thing. The anti-Anthony Robbins is always the attitude I've tried to have, which is expect the worst. Expect bad things to happen. Expect them like the sun will come up tomorrow. And if anything good happens, it exceeds your expectations. But if you go in optimistic, well, you got a high bar to set. You're probably going to be disappointed.
Well, it's not like you're just doing this blindly with this franchise either. You know, it's not like you just woke up one day and you're like, you know what? I'd be a lot better off if I was just negative about it. Like, no, you've been beaten over the head with this for like the last 12 years.
Yes.
Telling you, like, listen, good things don't come to us, okay? So stop expecting them. Right?
Yes.
This is not unfounded in any way. I'm with you. Set the expectations low. And if they surprise you, it's pleasant. It's fun. I had mentioned in the last, could you point to anything tangible? Because I feel like they are banking a lot on veteran presence, I guess. You know,
like Christmas?
Yeah, exactly. Clubhouse chemistry, whatever it is. I mean, I know that's more of a baseball thing, but it seems like a lot of their moves were made to bring in guys that were like good character, veteran leadership type of guys. Without that real tangible leap of talent,
like
on
Marco
the floor.
Bellinelli, like Costa Kufis,
exactly.
Okay,
and so you know, the one thing
no
I would,
to
the
Costa.
One thing, but right. So, is right. there anything tangible you could point to? Other that the no, but here's the thing that I keep reminding myself is that they have Dave Yeager. I think Dave Yeager is a very good coach. I'm interested to see what he could do. I think he's done things with just as much talent, if not less.
So let me ask
you have to look at what he did also in Memphis. Memphis was another one of those teams that quietly last year were extremely successful, despite the fact that they had a ton of serious injuries.
So we have a coach that's coming in that has a pretty damn good track record of getting the most out of least. This is a guy that, when you look at his history, has been able to turn around teams. This is a guy, if you look at his history, that has been able to take rosters that don't have all that much talent and maximize them, and a guy that's been able to get to the playoffs damn near, if not every year, he's been a coach.
In the West.
Right. And did I say anything incorrect?
No.
Okay, so if you took what I just said and you rewound it a year and a half, am I saying anything different? If we went back 15 months ago and I said, hey, we're getting a coach that has this amazing track record of turning around teams, a guy that gets the most out of least, a guy that does it in the West. This is a coach that gets the most out of his teams, and he doesn't miss the playoffs. Ladies and gentlemen, George Karl.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I am a puppy dog in this sense, where if you have a puppy at home and you go home, every time you get home, that puppy, it's going to wag its tail. It's excited to see you. And then you, like, reach your hand down to pet the puppy, and then you punch it in the face. Well, eventually.
You know what's so funny? I thought about this exact same situation with the example that you're using right now with the dog. And it's so true.
Eventually,
I couldn't bring myself to say it, but
no, eventually when you get home and you reach down to pet the puppy, the puppy's gonna flinch, or it's just not gonna be at the door. Like, its tail will still wag, but it's gonna, like, its eye will kind of close up. It's expecting the punch in the puppy nose. I believe that's called a muzzle. So that's how I feel, kind of like I love my owner. And in this case, that's the Kings. I love them. And every time they come back, I wag my tail. Oh, it's Kings. Hey, yo. And then I know they're going to come down to pet me, and I want an ear scratch, perhaps a tummy rub. I don't know. But they're going to punch me in the face. So I flinch. And that's what I'm doing right
now.
I'm flinching.
Let's just save them the trouble, and I'll punch you in the face.
You playing Angry Birds? What are you doing there?
Yes, I'm taking pictures of you right now.
Okay.
Pokemoning?
Katie has her phone up, and she is having... No, I mean, really, what are you... I'm actually not curious. You're Pokemoning?
Yeah, I'm Instagramming.
You're Instagramming?
Yeah.
Katie's doing her social media.
I'm videoing your King's rant.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. Hang on to the fact... Wait, what does it say from the 530? Hang on to fact... That Karl's systems and culture, okay, they're hanging on to the fact that Karl's system and culture was so bad. Plus, let's factor Yeager got 42 wins, missing 196 games from Gasol, Conley, Zebo, Lee Allen, and Green. It's all we got, but it's real. Okay, that's cool. I can handle that.
Yeah.
But again,
So we're the phone calls. We have a bunch about the positives, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to be like a crazy downer. I'm sorry. I'm just sharing.
I'm always excited.
I'm excited too.
Because the reality of the situation is when you go into a new season, you have a bunch of new guys. We obviously know. I think that they've got some good guys in free agency that are like role players, that are hard-nosed players, that play both sides of the ball. These are things that excite me about the potential of the team.
Again, re-racked that a year ago, and we're saying the same thing, by the way.
I think the thing is Nate kind of nailed it, and this is a repetitive issue. It's all going to come down to chemistry, how these guys chemistry with Davis, with DeMarcus.
Dave Yeager,
yeah,
not
with,
me.
With DeMarcus. Yeah, I'm not worried about their chemistry with you.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's going to all come down to chemistry and how it comes together. And that's the scary part, because chemistry has been one of the biggest issues for this team for several years now.
If I'm a bright side guy, I'm going, you know what, the chemistry with Carl, it was so bad. And it looks like Yeager and Carl have the beginnings of a good relationship. Yeager has dealt with cantankerous players before, and they won 34 games last year with a horrible environment around them. Maybe with great chemistry and similar talent right now, what if you add another five? Is that worth six wins, seven wins? Well, are we close to 500?
I mean, that's the problem. Like when you're using something, and I guess like the crux of your argument is something that's unquantifiable like that, you really just don't have a leg to stand on. So, like, if you're going to, you know what I mean? Like, as much as we want to point to that and say, yes, it's going to be better, we have absolutely no way of seeing that, quantifying it, nothing.
There's
like
no
logic. It realistically doesn't exist in any tangible form. And so to use that as your selling point, you can't support that in any way. You're taking a leap of faith.
You're going from, and I know the stat nerds, and I say that affectionately, will freak out at this, but let's be honest. You're going from a point guard that led the league in assists by a giant margin to a point guard that I think Vegas right now is setting his odds on suspension length at 7.5 games. It's going to probably be between 5 and 10, and you don't have a true backup. I guess you kind of have a two guard now, sort of, but not really. You don't know what's going on at the three because of Rudy Gay.
Well, they have a more legit two guard than they've had.
Sure.
In
sure.
Long time.
Yeah.
I mean, Yeager,
but
really.
When you look at Omri.
Can Omri start the year? I don't know.
Pretty.
I don't know. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Warren Sapp will not join us next, but Lincoln Kennedy will. I was looking at this picture of Warren Sapp and his elbow. Let's give away tickets right now to go see The Godfather with Katie Christensen at Studio Movie Grill. We'll take your answer off the air during the break. We'll let you know the answer when we get back. This is my favorite trivia question of all time, and I bust it out every 2 or 3 years. In the last 40 years, now there are four rookies of the year in the big three sports, okay? Two in baseball, one in basketball, one in football. Three of the four rookies of the year in the same year, this is in the last 40 years, had the initials AD. Three of the four initials AD. What was the year and who are the rookies of the year? I make it hard because I know the winner's going to Google, but it's a fun, fun trivia question. We'll take a break. Come back with Lincoln Kennedy as we roll through the AFC West and specifically your Oakland Raiders right here in the home of the Kings. Sports 1140 KHDK. Ah, yes.
Silly.
You don't have to be a fan of the Raiders or even the NFL in general to just this song. I hear this song and I just think fall. Damn it. I just think fall. Brown, crispy leaves.
Apple cider. Apple picking.
Hell, Apple Hill.
See the steam coming off your dome when you pull off the helmet.
Ugh. God, I love it. We've been going around the...
Football's the most disgusting sport, and it has the most disgusting smells, but, God, they're the best smells, too.
They really are.
Telling you.
Smoking,
unconfirmed.
Smoking meat at 9 a.m.
I mean, it's kind of one of those things... Oh, you're thinking of that.
I know you were talking about the other ones. I was switching it,
It's kind of like drinking black coffee and chewing Copenhagen in the morning. Like, yeah, it's miserable, and it tastes disgusting, but that's, like, part of the raw badassery of it.
Mm. Of morning radio.
That's it. Mm. It's just you embrace the horror.
I'll take your word for it.
That's it.
We have
ask Link about the smell.
We've touched on the Broncos, the Chiefs, the Chargers. They all enjoyed it. We finish, of course, on a Friday with a team that has a lot of questions going into this season, and the biggest questions may not even be on the field. It is your Oakland Raiders. All right. So, a lot of questions going in with the Oakland Raiders, and I got to be honest, if I'm a Raider fan, I am more excited about this season than any season I've been excited about in a long, long time. So, as we go around the table, I'll take the easy one, guys. I'll go off the field. The biggest question for me when it comes to the Oakland Raiders, mm-hmm. if I'm a Raider fan, is this the final season I will see the Raiders play in Oakland? How does that affect you on the field? It probably doesn't. We'll ask Lincoln Kennedy here in a couple minutes. Is that something the players are going to have in the back of their head? Do they really care?
Well, and I think my biggest thing going into it is Derek Carr. He's been so impressive early in his career. What is this season going to be for him? How good is he really going to be?
My biggest question is, how are the Raiders going to handle the pressure of increased expectations? Mm-hmm. This isn't about their opponents this year. It's about not beating themselves, setting their own standard and getting there, and not letting their opponents get in the way.
Nailed it, thank Nate you. Goodyear.
We have had many an interaction with Lincoln Kennedy, and they've all been fantastic. We love him so much, which is why we're happy to announce right now that in addition to doing sidelines for Raiders Radio, in addition to being a former Raider and NFLer, of course, he will be one of KHDK's Raider Insiders. What does that mean? Well, he's going to be hosting a weekly Raiders show every Tuesday at 4 p.m. with old Napes, Grant Napier. And in addition to that, he'll join us and the Lowdown each week to provide that beautiful, wonderful inside knowledge and intellect that only Lincoln Kennedy can provide. So we're excited for that and welcoming Lincoln into the KHTK fray, and hopefully he can teach us a few things as well and rub some of that winner on us. Lincoln, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. How are you?
Well, man, after that introduction, I don't know if I can live up to your expectations.
That's a lot of pressure.
So much for it. It's a lot of pressure. I mean, I gotta be modest and humble and handle that press.
But, listen.
It's good to be with you guys.
No, hey, there's a lot of things to get to with the Raiders, but I just want you to know I am happy to. You know, you need to know where the coffee machine is, the vending machines. I'll show you all the good spots in the station to hide out at. So we'll work you in easily. And no hazing, Lincoln. No hazing.
Right.
Welcome
well,
me in as a veteran.
Speak for yourself. Right. I've got a whole bunch of stuff lined up for you, Lincoln.
That's what I figured. I just need to know where the vending machines in the bathroom are mostly. That's it.
Make sure you wash your hands or else Dave will call you out on air to all of our listeners.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. How you guys doing today?
Well, you know, we're doing good. We are wrapping up our AFC West preview today with the Raiders. Of course, we are the home of the Raiders, and we are surrounded by tons of Raider fans. Lincoln, I don't want to give out false hope, but if I were to say Raider fans have every right to be more excited about this season than any season in recent memory, am I being a little too optimistic?
No, I think the expectations are somewhat fair. You know, the great thing about football, guys, it doesn't matter what year, there's always a feeling of optimism when the new season starts. Because every team, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what happened the year before, with the draft or free agency, with all the buildup that goes into the NFL season, every team feels that they have a chance. Now, if you look at the recent history of the Raiders, well, they've been systematically moving, you know, getting more wins, getting better. Seem like they've got a good foundation, which I do believe, you know, Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, so on and so forth, they built in the draft. And now it seems like they're supposed to take that next step. The rightful just progression of where they're going is to take that next step. So Raider Nation and Raider fans have every right to be optimistic, have every right to be excited, because this has been a long time waiting for finally. They finally seem to be headed in the right direction and getting better. Now they have to maximize their ability within their window.
Lincoln, Derek Carr has, I think, exceeded a lot of expectations for this early on in his career. In his second year, you know, he had a new head coach, new offensive coordinator, a ton of new starters on offense, and they showed so much improvement and so much promise. Is this really going to be the season where we see what he's made of?
I think over the last couple of years, we've seen what he's made of. I think it's just developing and getting better at doing it. And there's a little key there. The fact is that now that he's got some weapons that he can go to, and now that he's got a better understanding of the offense, just like I said a moment ago, it's that natural progression. You know, look, with the way he finished last year and being in the top 10 ranking of the quarterbacks mm-hmm. in the National Football League for his age and his youth, is good for the Raiders because they commit it. They believe he's a franchise quarterback. I believe he's a franchise quarterback, and he can only get better. Now the next step is for if the Raiders are to make the playoffs, what do they do once they get in the playoffs? And I will tell you, as a former player, there was something about certain quarterbacks. There was something about certain players that when they got to that higher level, playoff-bound football or playoff football, they had to sort of transcend and take their game to the next level. And we'll see once the Raiders get there if Derek Carr has that.
You know, Lincoln, because of that natural progression that's kind of expected you were talking about, the Raiders, they're kind of that team du jour in this offseason. And I think rightfully so when you look at what they've done personnel-wise. But as a team, how do you keep the focus away from those increased expectations and focus internally so that, you know, you just handle your own business?
Well, Jack Del Rio and his coaching staff walk in the locker room and said, you guys haven't won anything yet. Don't get too big-headed. Keep hungry. I mean, the fact is, and that's exactly right. They haven't been to the playoffs. Yeah, because you're on the cusp of, you know, those 7-9. Yeah, you're close, but that close doesn't get you anything. Right now, I've deemed the team like a paper champion because, yes, it looks good with the draft and the free agent acquisitions and everything. It looks good with the signings. All that is good for just paper. And you can, you know, roll it up and throw it away if it need be because they still have to go out there and play.
Now, Lincoln, I'm sorry, Dave.
Go ahead.
How do you think that they're constructed, I guess, personality-wise to handle that? Do you think they're in a position to where that isn't going to get to their heads?
I would think that with the subtle mix of youth and veteran players that and we have seen some established leadership in the locker room, some leadership coming to their own. You know, guys like Amari Cooper, Derek Carr, and Khalil Mack, just to name a few that have been drafted, the high draft choices, all of a sudden they've got sort of almost like a senior-like presence in the locker room because they've been here, and a lot of people who haven't been around the Raiders organization are depending on them to be playmakers. So I think there's a bit of humility and being realistic and practical, and I think that's one of the things that really adds to Derek Carr's aura. I mean, he is a good leader, and yeah, I've seen him in the locker room, and he's very humble, faith-based guy who's looked like he's ready to go out there and just do whatever he can to help the Raiders win. So I think that's really good. That's something they haven't had. It also makes that with other guys like Donald Penn and some of the other older guys that have been around. This is a great opportunity for this young team of youth and veterans to come together and really make something special happen for the Silver and Blacks.
Happy to be able to say KHDK Raider insider Lincoln Kennedy joining us right now. Lincoln will join Grant Tuesdays at 4 o'clock doing a Raiders show with them, also appearing with us in the Lowdown and Middays as our Raiders insider. And Lincoln, there was a movie called The Fugitive with Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones where they were able to break down a recording of a phone call to figure out the location of Dr. Richard Kimball by hearing the elevated train in Chicago. And as we sit here and do this interview and we hang on your every word, I'm hearing seagulls. I think I just heard a boat take off from port. So I have to.
Well, it's actually coming into port.
Coming into port.
Where are you, Lincoln?
Yeah.
I'm just north of Seattle in a city called Port Angeles on the peninsula in Washington.
I'll bet you it is freaking awesome. It's like 108 degrees every day right now in Sacramento. I'll bet you it is amazing there right now.
You know what's great about this area is that it's got to be mid-70s. I'm literally sitting on the dock of the bay watching the ships go by. I know that's a nice little
great song by the way.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's absolutely beautiful up here. I've got an event I've got to do today, and I'm just listening to the water rustle, have some tea, and talking to you guys. It's a great time.
Lincoln, I think the biggest question with the Raiders is a question that is not an on-field question. It's the curse of Raider fan that they're dealing with, where they may finally have a legit, if not Super Bowl contender, at least AFC West contender. But in the back of their heads, they've got to wonder, is this the last year they see the Raiders in Oakland? Now, that's the fans, Lincoln. From a player's point of view, is the impending move, is that something that has any chance of seeping into the locker room, or the players just they don't really care about that?
Don't really care. The fact is that you know, most players probably don't even realize that they don't have a for sure home. It's the business side that most athletes don't concern themselves with. The truth of the matter, the only ones that really care are their families, their wives, because they want to know what's going on. Want to know for their schools, their kids' schools, and what they're going to do, what they're going to have to look for. But I would tell this. I said this to the Raider Nation through and through. The Raiders are such an iconic franchise in the National Football League. They don't need to share their stadium with anybody. They should have their own stadium. Now, wherever that may be, Oakland, San Antonio, Las Vegas, wherever that may be, it has to get done sooner than later. And it's a part of business. So as a player, you don't concern yourself with it because all you're going to do is go out there and play, collect your check. No matter where you're living, you're going to be okay. And you know, as a Raider fan, of course, it affects your community and stuff like that. So there's a lot to be desired. But the excitement that is going to generate around this team this year should all be remembered by the collective group, the Raider Nation. They are the Oakland Raiders, and let's support and celebrate the Oakland Raiders right here and right now.
Lincoln, I think that when you look at this team and there's so much great young talent, there's solid proven vets that they've brought in on very friendly contracts. And I was reading something the other day where it was a sports writer that was saying, you know what, they may be just a couple years away from contending for a Super Bowl. When you look at this team right now, if you were to have to put a number of years on it, how long do you think it'll be before that's a reality for them, that they're Super Bowl contenders?
Well, Super Bowl contention is a very high loft, a very high bar to look at. Right now, I think it's more practical and realistic to take baby steps. Because I do think this team is a playoff-bound team. I think they're a wild-card team. I'm not going to go so far as to say they're going to win the division because I have to see how all the pieces come together. But I think as far as the division is concerned, it's probably the most competitive in football because all four teams, in my opinion, pretty much have a legitimate chance to make a shakeup and make it, you know, get some stuff done. But I do think the Raiders are a wild card team. If they get to the playoffs, when they get to the playoffs, you go from there because it's single game elimination, so you can't take anything for granted. But to have Super Bowl aspirations, every team has Super Bowl aspirations. Some more realistic and practical than others. I'm not going to go so far and say they're there yet until I see the way they put the product on the field.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us on KHDK, talking a little bit of Raiders here. Lincoln, the one weakness I see offensively is just a lack of depth at the running back position. What's the expectation there as far as how they're going to divvy up the load? They expect Latavius Murray to carry the majority of that himself? Or is there an expectation that Roy Helu might be worth something this year?
Well, what you're going to see with the Raiders uniform in the backfield is going to be a running back by committee. And I think that's something that's, you know, pretty much happening all over the league. Very few teams have a guy like Adrian Peterson they can rely on for 25, 30 carries a game. And more importantly, when watching the recent history with Latavius Murray, it's smarter not to try to push him or not to try to get him that many carries because the way his running style is led to some injuries. So I think that you're going to see running back by committee, a collection of running backs. And one of the things that they did in this year's draft is go out and get DeAndre Washington out of Texas Tech, which I have the utmost respect for because he's almost like a scat back. And that's, most people don't realize until they see it, a back who's able to catch out of the backfield. The Raiders have been looking for some time, whether they're circle routes or flare routes or swing routes, because a lot of times those running backs get linebackers isolated on them in space, and it becomes the advantage to the running back. So when you have a capable back who's able to catch out of the backfield, this can do a lot more for your offense.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us on KHDK. Lincoln, I want to switch gears for a second. There's a conversation we were having yesterday. The NBA Players Association has now decided to give full insurance coverage to any player that served 3 years or more in the NBA. And we switched the topic over to football. In baseball and basketball, as I'm sure you know, you sign a contract, whatever you sign for, you're getting paid. The numbers in football are astronomical, and players take home far less in most cases than what you hear about in the media. Do you think we live in a world, Lincoln, where the NFL and the NFL Players Association could someday not only guarantee contracts, but come up with a way to insure players with X amount of service in the NFL?
Well, the only problem with that is that, well, there's several things. The short way of answering your question is, if you have guaranteed contracts, yeah, if they're all 1 to 2 years,
right,
you have guaranteed contracts. That's the only way it's going to happen. because football is too volatile of a sport, and the labor usage is too controlled by the NFL. They're not going to relinquish that. So that's the only way that you're going to get guaranteed contracts. The second part is something like lifetime medical and stuff like that. Look, I fought vehemently when I was a union rep to try to get lifetime medical, to try to commit the masses of the union to argue for lifetime medical for all former players. And of course, there were many restrictions I ran into with guys was that, you know, guys much rather put more money in the salary cap so they get bigger contracts than put it off for future medical, or they wanted to take care of themselves. So it was basically a demonstrative thing from the inside more so than anywhere else. So I don't know if that's going to get done. It's long overdue. It should happen. But I don't know if it's going to get done. And I think the third thing about it, and the most important thing that most people don't understand, is that the average career span for a professional football player is 3.5 years. Well, in order to be considered a vested veteran where you get benefits, you got to play 4 years. So,
yeah,
you know, yeah. There's these little nuances that are within the whole union, the buildup and everything else, which are so hard. And more importantly, I think a lot of the leverage for the players has gone by the wayside with this last collective bargain agreement, because the fact is when the owners had the work stoppage and they locked them out, more players caved and stood the ground because they said they needed the money and they had to get back to work. So they were willing to agree to anything. And that's why, you know, you saw the type of deal went through. It was not advantageous for the players. It was really, you know, counterproductive, and they can't do anything about it for another, 5-6 years now.
Well, and we were talking about the unions, baseball, basketball, football unions specifically, and we ranked the strength of the unions from a player standpoint. We ranked them as baseball, basketball, now that they've gotten a new executive director who isn't corrupt, and the players have had a few wins in the NBA. And then we ranked the football union last of the big three. Would you say that's an accurate ranking or no?
Absolutely. I even put women's soccer and everybody else above. You know, it's sad because my brethren, I mean, I just, for the most part, I don't really know if they truly understand what it means or where their position is. And for the most part, the thing is that it's only older guys that have been established or are looking for the future, looking for the after the game, who can really speak out. Most of the younger guys don't concern themselves. And that's really, you know, wrong. I mean, it's really something wrong with that. You know, I remember one story when I was playing, when we first started the 401k, and there weren't a whole lot of players who took a lot of time to really read on how a 401k can be beneficial as a retired. I used to have to go in as a union rep and force guys to actually sign the paperwork for 401k. I had to tell them that you're getting free money by putting this money aside. So many guys fought me. Well, I want my money now. I want to do whatever I want with it. No. We're putting away from your future. I'm looking out for your future right now. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. They didn't understand the true, you know, the true circumstance behind a 401k. And I had to force them to sign. And that was sad to me. But that's what you're working with. You got to remember, football, just like any of the other games, other sports, are games that kids play. They're grown kids who are playing the game and collecting a lot of money for it.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I wish we had more time. There's a lot of stuff to get into there, and we'll get a chance to have a lot more time with Lincoln this season, as he will be on every Tuesday at 4 with Grant Napier hosting a weekly Raiders show. And in addition, he'll join us and the Lowdown in middays to help bring us more Raiders info. Lincoln, always a pleasure. Thanks so much, and welcome to the KHDK family.
I appreciate it, guys. I'm going to go back and sit on the dock of the bay. And
Enjoy that weather. Thanks.
See you, brother. That's Lincoln Kennedy.
All right.
Oh, a lot of stuff to unpack there, and we're getting closer and closer to the NFL season, and your Oakland Raiders specifically. Speaking of Oakland, how about we switch from Raiders to A's? The do I call them red hot? Maybe kind of a light orange hot? Yellow hot?
There's a little steam coming off.
Some steam. Ken Korak broadcasts for your Oakland A's. You hear him right here on the station. You'll hear him here in a few hours, and he's going to join us at 8:10 to talk a little Athletics baseball. Coming up next, though, we'll hear from Doc Rivers on why he thinks Kevin Durant chose the Warriors over his very own Los Angeles Clippers.
Huh.
That's next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.